acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a...
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 51, Down by the River, Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah. I'm podcasting along the banks of the Delaware River. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate, and you can find information and interaction with the Yarns at Yin Hu podcast on Ravelry. Today's episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, ever-expanding skill set, yarn lover at large, and gratitude journal. The back porch. Since I last recorded, I have been working furiously on a number of projects that will be Christmas gifts. And I wanted to get the knitting done for all of the projects I plan to felt. So I've made a total of 4 of the scrappy felted oven mitts. That's a pattern by Kelly Schroeder. I'm using a combination of Debbie Stoller's Full of Sheep and Patton's 100% wool roving on U.S. size 9 and 10 needles. I decided to use stripes as a sort of signature style and also as a way to use up a good bit of scrap yarn that I have. So each of the oven mitts has 7 stripes, and the penultimate stripe is of a different color. I really like the way that looks, and I have 2 of the mitts felted already, and 2 more still need to be felted. I've also knit a total of 4 felted vessels, and this is a pattern of my own design. I wanted to create something that was like a small bowl, something that was artful looking, but that was useful for putting near the door or maybe on top of a dresser as just a catch-all for the things that may be in your pockets. So I made a medium and a smaller version of these felted vessels. And I have felted the medium size, and the small ones are still waiting to be felted. I also knit a pair of yoga socks. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I'm not a very accomplished sock knitter. And I thought that this yoga socks pattern by Jennifer Wang for simple yoga socks would be a great alternative to socks because you don't have to worry about toes and you don't have to worry about heels. However, I don't know. Every sock I knit just seems sloppy and limp to me. Maybe I'm just too much of a loose knitter and I really need to go down to size 0s. I was knitting these on size 1.5, and the yarn I was using, Claudia Hand Paints fingering yarn, was a pretty plump yarn, so I didn't think it was the fault of the yarn that the fabric wasn't dense enough. They just, I don't know. I thought I would give them as a gift, and now I think I just need to keep them for myself because they just don't have a lot of stretch to them, and one of my sewn bind-offs on the cuff is a lot looser than the other one, so consistency is sort of an issue. I don't know. I think it's a good pattern. It's a versatile pattern. This is Simple Yoga Socks by Jennifer Wang. It's kind of more of a recipe than a pattern. And I really did enjoy the Claudia hand paints fingering. I think that yarn is discontinued, or it's now known as Addiction. And I was using the colorway Boot Camp, which is really beautiful browns and blues and greens, a little bit of rust. It's very pleasing. But the overall project is less than thrilling. So I guess I'll be keeping those yoga socks for myself. And I came up with another idea for a gift for that recipient, which I will talk about in a moment. I continue to work on spinning a braid of Polwarth silk. It's the blend by Three Waters Farm in the Rooftop colorway, and this is absolutely gorgeous fiber. I'm spinning it on my Jenkins Aegean drop spindle. It's taking a very long time, and I'm happy about that because this fiber is lovely to work with, and I kind of want it to last forever. So I'm spinning with the Fall Mini Spin Along, sponsored by the Jenkins Spindle Lovers Group. And everyone who is taking part in this spin along is spinning something with some quantity of silk content. It could be anything from silk hankies to, like I'm spinning, a blend of wool and silk. And I plan to spin all 4 ounces of this braid. So far, I have 3 completed turtles. And I've determined that the weight I'm able to put on the spindle, the weight of spun yarn I'm able to put on the spindle, is equal to the weight of the spindle itself. Some folks in the Jenkins group claim that you can nearly double the weight of yarn on your Aegean or Turkish spindle. But I find that as soon as I go over the weight of the spindle itself, the spinning starts to change. I start to drop the spindle a lot. And this morning I had an incident where I dropped the spindle. It slid out underneath the porch railing, off the porch, and tumbled down toward the creek through the weeds and the bushes. It's not even 1 ounce, this spindle, but somehow it took a tumble, and I stood on the porch just hoping that it wasn't broken. Was still wearing my pajamas, so of course I put on my boots to tromp down into the woods in my pajamas and retrieve the spindle, which was none the worst for wear. It was a little bit dusty, but otherwise fine. And it kept on spinning. So that was my wake-up call, though, that I had reached probably the maximum limit of yarn on the spindle, and I needed to remove that. And the term for this yarn that's been wound on a Turkish spindle is a turtle, and it looks like a little turtle shell when you remove it. And it's a very nice plying ball. You don't have to rewind the yarn or do anything else before you ply it. It's just in perfect condition to ply. So I removed that turtle and began a new one. So far, I have completed 4 turtles, and I think that is roughly equivalent to 2/3 of the fiber. So I have another 1/3 to go before I'm done, and the end of this fall mini spin along is near the end of September. So I think that's plenty of time to get that all spun and also plied up. The color of this rooftop fiber is lots of browns and purples and grays with pops of bright color, almost like sunlight is reflecting off the rooftop. So there are little pops of yellow and green and orange. It's just incredible. When I'm done spinning all of the singles, I plan to ply them together in such a way that I preserve the color changes in the fiber. This is something I've never done before, so I'm eager to see how that works out. The front porch. On the front porch is a project that I heard Emily of the Fibertown podcast mention when she talked about how she helps someone learn to knit. This is in her recent episode titled How I Make a Knitter, and she referenced the Booga bag, which is a felted bag by Julie Anderson. It's a really cool pattern that requires 3 skeins of Noro 100% wool yarn, and it makes a beautiful striping bag that you could use as a purse or maybe a cosmetics bag. You could use it as a little knitting bag. Really cool project. Being that I had a lot of wool roving and full of sheep yarn left over from the felted oven mitts, I thought I would combine all of my leftovers and knit up this Booga bag and make that as the project replacement for the failed attempt at yoga socks. So I think this will make an extraordinary gift, and I agree 100% with Emily that this would be a fantastic project for a new knitter. You get instant gratification of having a completed project. I think Noro yarn is something that's really fun for a new knitter to work with, to see the color changes and color progression. You learn a lot of different kinds of stitches and techniques like picking up and knitting. And felting the bag when it's done means that drop stitches or imperfections in the stitches will not be that noticeable, and you come out with this fabulous project. And thank you, Emily, for suggesting that. I've also begun 2 other projects, and I hope to complete them by the end of the Asymmetrical. This is Yarns at Yinhu's first craft along, and it is all about asymmetrical garments and accessories. We have a number of folks who are crafting along, and already the finished object thread has 16 finished objects. Really awesome. And there's some very awesome stuff in there. So I've decided to knit the Planorbis corneus shawl. This is a pattern by Hunter Hammerson, and it's in her 3rd book, Volume 3 of the Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet. I'm knitting it with my final purchase from Rhinebeck 2013. So I didn't purchase too many things for myself when I went to Rhinebeck last October. I was very concerned with buying a lot of gifts, but I did pick up some fiber and some yarn, and this yarn by Creatively Dyed Yarn in worsted weight in the color Bean is the final purchase that I am knitting up. It looks really fun in this pattern, and Bean as a colorway reminds me of red bean paste in pastries or ice cream, or the kind of thing that you buy in sweet shops in Koreatown. There's lots of rusty, warm tones, little pops of yellow, and there are undyed spots of this yarn as well. So it gives a really nice speckled appearance, and I think is a fun yarn for this asymmetrical shawl. Another pattern I'm knitting is my 2nd clincher. This is a design by Ash Kearns. It's an asymmetrical scarf that has loops along the wide edge of the scarf, and you can pull the small end through the loops in a number of different ways. I knit this a few months ago with another yarn, and I just wanted to cast one on again, because I think it's always a good idea to have a small project that I don't have to follow a pattern and that I can make progress on in situations where I don't have a large attention span. So the clincher is certainly a great project for purse knitting, car knitting, that kind of thing. I'm using some yarn that I bought at the Super Summer Knit Together in Nashville this summer. It's Apothecary Yarns in the colorway Trident. This is beautifully dyed yarn. I appreciated it in the skein, but as I'm knitting it and working with it outside in full sunlight, the yarn just glows. And it's amazing how there are so many different colors and color values in this yarn, and it's not muddy. In no way do colors overlap to have a muted effect. Every tone and hue is vibrant and saturated, and it's really nice and shiny as well. I know that the colorway is Trident, but what I think of most often as I knit with this yarn is Van Gogh's Starry Night. There are lots of deep blues and pops of gold and orange. It's just extraordinary yarn and a lot of fun to knit. Ever-expanding skill set. This month, I have been cooking with nuts as part of the Bulk Bins cook-along. Thank you, everyone, who has been cooking along with me. Folks have shared some fantastic recipes on the Ravelry thread, and I had been thinking all day, one day earlier this week, all day I was thinking about peaches and cream. We have luscious peaches in season here this year. And I wanted to do something unusual and interesting with them. So I developed a recipe that is kind of a riff off of the idea of peaches and cream. It's grilled peaches and cashew cream. In order to make a cream out of nuts, and I think you could use almost any variety of soft nuts, you put the nuts first into a food processor and grind them until they have a flour-like texture. Then you add about an equal part of water and mixed with lemon juice. And you whiz that up in a food processor until it comes together in a fluffy white consistency. And you can spoon it over things, over fruit, over vegetables. I've seen it used as a replacement for cheese on Italian dishes like lasagna or pizza. It has a really nice creamy texture and a density to it, but also it retains that cashew flavor, which is a great complement for grilled peaches. And this is just, you know, on the grill after you've had your cookout, or on a griddle if you have folks at your cookout who do not want any meat or meat residue on their fruit. You could do this on a griddle as well. You just brush a little olive oil either onto the peaches or onto the griddle itself, and put the peaches, you know, cut side down and let them grill for a few minutes. You can turn them over if you wish, but the idea is to get some nice charred grill marks or grill spots on the peaches and then spoon the cashew cream over them, drizzle a little bit of honey or maple syrup, and then a quick grating of nutmeg over the top. Fantastic summer dessert. So I hope you enjoy that recipe. I have posted it on my blog as well. In September, The Bulkman's cook-along will put the spotlight on barley. Barley for the month of September. I've also been honing my post-apocalyptic skill set this week by working on a batch of tomato sauce on my own. I don't do very much canning in my teeny tiny kitchen. Usually my canning experience is limited to going over to my mom's house and helping her with the canning that she's doing. But my mom has been away visiting my sister in Vermont, and she said that she is done with canning tomatoes. However, her garden was not done giving her tomatoes. She insinuated that I should go over and pick those tomatoes and do something with them. So I did. I picked as many tomatoes as I thought would be a reasonable batch of tomato sauce and pulled out all of my canning equipment. A lot of things in my kitchen I need to MacGyver in order to get them to work right. I don't have a jar lifter. I don't have the right funnel for canning jars. So I kind of improvise a lot of things. A small batch of tomato sauce was a good way for me to refresh my skills of putting food by. And in a small kitchen like mine, it really is key to think about organization and workflow and the different tasks and the sequence of those tasks in order to make the job go smoothly. One of the things that helps is I usually separate the act of making the sauce from the task of putting the sauce in jars. And that's helpful to do that on two different days. It also allowed me to let the sauce cook down quite a bit, so it was nice and thick. The one snag I had is that after cleaning the jars and putting them in my oven and turning up the oven so I could sterilize them, I had my hot sauce ready to go and I had hot jars. And the first jar I took out broke as soon as I put a little bit of sauce into it. Boy, is that a confidence killer. I started to rethink whether I knew what I was doing. Why can't I do this without my mother's oversight? I just started rethinking everything. I don't know if my jar was a little bit too hot or if I just happened to pull out a jar that had maybe a crack in it already or maybe a little bit of a weak spot. But after cleaning up that mess, I kind of paced the kitchen for a little while and rethought everything and tried again, and everything went fine. So I ended up filling 10 jars, and one went into the refrigerator, and the other 9 are being stored down cellar, waiting for the cooler weather and some nice tummy-warming dishes. Yarn Lover at Large. The New Jersey Sheep and Wool Festival is coming up. It's held the weekend after Labor Day, that's September 6th and 7th, at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringgoes, New Jersey. I will be attending and volunteering starting very early on Saturday morning in the fleece judging tent. I've heard a lot of fantastic things about the New Jersey Sheep and Wool Festival. It's a nice, small festival and very friendly from what I've heard. And the festival itself has begun doing a series of promotions on Facebook. So I've started to share some of those articles. And I hope that you can make it out and say hi if you see me there. Gratitude Journal. I'm grateful to all of the poets who help me experience the beauty of a season even more powerfully through language. And today I'd like to share a poem by Mary Oliver. She is a beloved poet who has been writing nature poetry for several decades. She lives and works primarily now in Provincetown at the very tip of Cape Cod, and she is a keen observer of all the wildlife there. And this poem features the heron, which I have been watching intently all summer long. This is Many Miles, a poem by Mary Oliver. The feet of the heron under those bamboo stems hold the blue body, the great beak, above the shallows of the pond. Who could guess their patience? Sometimes the toes shake like worms. What fish could resist? Or think of the cricket, his green hooks climbing the blade of grass. Or think of camel feet, like earmuffs striding over the sand. Or think of your own, slapping along the highway, a long life, many miles. To each of us comes the body, a gift.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like when the curtains burn out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's herb will get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.